Today I'm going to talk to you about worship. Pray, all the worshipers said, woo! You know, as a believer, there are many facets of our life as a believer, as a Christian. Things we practice as a lifestyle, things that we do to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, to experience God. And really, we need to know and understand all of the different facets of what makes up a believer's life, right? I mean, there's things like staying in the Word. You know, we've got to read the Word, study the Word, get revelation from the Word. There's praying. We all need to learn how to pray. We need to pray. There's fasting. Yeah. Amen. We all need to fast and apply that in our lives. There's worshiping as a part. And so we've got to make sure that as we talk about the facets and as we practice the facets, we continue to grow in them. Okay? What I have found is that, you know, when we are born and we come into the earth, we're all made in the image of God, but we're all distinct and we kind of have some tendencies, you know? We kind of have some natural things about us. Some people come and they're creative people, you know, and they tend to like things like art and they tend to like things like music. And then there's those that come and they're a little more, what I would say, maybe on the studious side, and they like to study. You know, and they like to read, you know, give them Google for an hour with the research, you know, oh, they're happy with that. Just that's what's in them. And so I have found sometimes that as Christians, we kind of lean to what our natural tendency is. And so if you're one of those real studious people that likes to study, likes to search things out, likes to research, you know, usually those people, they love the Word. I mean, once they get a hold of the revelation that, wow, 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 this is the Word of God. I mean, this is God's words today. They're living, they're alive, they're powerful. And so I want to be in the Word. I want to study the Word. I want to search out the Word. You know, I want to confess the Word. I want to meditate the Word. Praise God for that. But the truth is we all need to do that. Not just those that are studious and not just those that have a natural tendency. We need to understand that getting in the Word and staying in the Word is a facet of our spiritual life. And if we don't develop in that and continue to grow in that, we'll find that we'll get weak. Amen. And so it's the same way with worship. We find the people who, you know, some people just, myself, I grew up loving music. I mean, from the earliest days I can remember as a young girl, my mother gave me a little thing and I had a 45 and I would get in my room and, you know, dance around my room as long as I can remember. I've danced or I bought every album and I've always loved music. So we find that people that like music or people that are musically inclined toward instruments, you know, they tend to gravitate to worship. You know, they want to worship all the time. I mean, you get in the car, I want to hear music. Pastor Chaz does not. You know, I wonder how many, turn on me, he'd rather do something else. But the truth is that we can't leave the worship just to those who have a tendency toward worship. And the worship people can't just be worshipers. You got to be prayers and people in the Word. And then those that are doing the other, the being in the Word and praying. And we love to pray. And I just love to get in the presence of God. And I just love to make requests to God. And we've got to all develop in all the facets of our Christian life. Amen? And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about worship. Is that okay? Yes. You know, there are many ways to worship. There are many styles of worship. You know, we can worship in tongues. We can worship with the Word. We can worship as we pray. We worship with our mouth. We can worship by lifting hands. We can worship by laying flat. There's all kinds of ways to worship. But I want to talk this morning just about the root of worship. And this is something I find today. You know, I woke up this week just feeling like as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we needed a checkup in the worship category. Because the root word of worship means to prostrate. The meaning of what it is to worship is not to find a great song that I love and, ooh, I'm going to get in the thing. Ooh, it's going to make me feel good and I'm going to like it. No. The real word of worship means to lay low before the high one. The root of worship is to worship Him. The root of worship is not to worship worship. The root of worship is not to worship music. The root of worship is to worship Him. Okay? And so, you know, we find ourselves at many different times and many different levels. Some people not really that in tune with worship. You know, the way that you're going to develop into a worshiper, which you need to be a worshiper, is you're going to have to worship. Do you know that the way that people develop in prayer, you know, some people are really good at praying. I mean, have you ever gone to a prayer meeting and you get in a meeting and they're like, man, they can pray. Do you know why they can pray? It's not but just because they were chosen by God as a special one to pray. Because really in the Bible, there is no special assignment of a prayer or an intercessor. There's no office. There's no position. We're all called to pray. The reason they can pray is because they have understood what prayer is, why it's important, that it's a discipline, and they just begin to pray. And so the more you pray, the better you get at praying. The more you pray, the more you want to pray. And the more you want to pray, the better you get at praying. And it's the same with worship. If you're not by tendency a worshiper, you're going to have to realize that you're called to worship and just begin to practice worship. Just begin to live worship as a lifestyle and worship. And the truth is, the more you worship, the more you lift Him up, the more you honor Him, the more you adore Him, the more you lift up Jesus in whatever you're doing, whether it's with music or without music, whether it's going around your house, whether it's just with Thanksgiving, whether it's just whatever it is to Him. But the more you do it, the better you're going to get at it. Amen. And the more you do it, the more you're going to like it. And the more you like it, the more you do it. The more you like it, and the more you do it. And so we can't be deceived of the thinking. This is, many Christians do this, especially in praying, especially in the Word. They pray, Lord, Lord, give me a hunger. Give me a hunger to pray. Lord, give me a hunger. And they're waiting for the Lord to drop a hunger on them so that they can pray. You will never get a hunger to pray like that. Your hunger follows your attention. If you recognize that you need to pray more, you're going to have to, by faith, with a discipline, begin to pray. Amen. And then the more you do pray, the more you'll get a hunger to pray. And then you won't be praying just because you know that you should pray and you know that there's benefits from praying. You'll be praying because you want to. Come on, you'll be delighting in prayer. It's the same thing with worship. Amen. So we've got to develop in our lifestyle of worship. Worshiping Him, worshiping, again, not worship, not even worshiping the results of worship. See, I find people that worship, and once you really start worshiping and you understand the dynamic of what worship is and what worship does, you begin to experience things in worship. You begin to experience God. You begin to experience the presence of God. You begin to see that God comes close, that heaven shows up on your behalf, that things begin to happen, that you experience His presence. But we don't worship His presence. We don't worship to get His presence. I know you're not believing me yet. We worship Him to worship Him for who He is, not for what He can do for us. He does do a lot of good things. Thank God for that. Those things come as a byproduct, but it's not why we worship. And so we don't worship to worship for His presence. We worship Him because of who He is, because He's worthy to be worshiped. Because if He never, ever, if I never, ever, ever again felt His presence, He's still worthy to be worshipped. If He never, ever, ever answered another prayer of mine, He's still worthy to be worshipped. Because of who He is. Because of what He's done. He's worthy. And we must worship Him. I want to give you some quotes about worship. David Jeremiah, you might not know these people. I don't know some of them either, but I just like their quotes. He said, if you don't worship, you'll never fully experience God. You can experience some aspects of God. But listen, there are some things that are only going to come to you and through worship. It's true. Oswald Chambers said this. He said, I must take time to worship the one whose name I bear. I like that he acknowledged, I must take time. Because, you know, what happens, we get in our lives, we get in the routine of our life, we get in the duties of our life, the responsibilities of our life, which we all have them. And we tend to think something is special about my life, why I don't have time to worship. No. Everybody could say that. But we must make time. This is part of what it is to be a Christian. It's to live in the disciplines of what we know God has called us to, which is to worship Him. Byron Spradlin said this. He said, worship is the intentional attitudes and actions of focusing on God. And I want to add to that, I'm focusing on God, of who God is in the truth of God. Not just focusing on God from the standpoint of whining and complaining about how bad things are in our life. No, it's about us, the attitudes and our actions toward focusing on who He is. The great God, the good God, the almighty God, the one who always comes. Amen? That's a good quote, right? Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, worship is the highest elevation of the spirit. That's a small s, so our spirit. And yet the lowliest prostration of the soul. Worship is the highest elevation of the spirit. Do you know that when you worship, you ascend? When you worship, you ascend into the spirit realm, into the heavenly places, into the high places. If you go back and you study out in the Old Testament, the Psalms, they called many of them, a whole section of them were called the Songs of the Ascent. And they would sing these songs as they were going up to the meeting place with the Lord. Well, guess what? We have the meeting place of the Lord with Him every day in our heart. And it's as we worship that we ascend. It's as we worship that our spirit man becomes stronger and gets lifted up into the heavenly places, where we can now begin to see spiritual things and hear spiritual things and live with the eye of faith rather than according to the natural way. Worship causes us to ascend. It's important that we worship, and it causes our soul to get low. Listen, no matter how much you love God, no matter how much you're in the Word, there's still, your soul wants to jump up. Your soul wants to take first place. Your soul wants to have its way. Your soul wants to whatever, whether it's, woo, the thing is wonderful for me, or whoa, whoa, pitiful, pitiful me. When we worship, it causes our soul to get in the right place. And that's why you saw the psalmist say, he'd say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I mean, sometimes you just got to tell your soul just to shut up, sit down, because your spirit right now is just going to praise the Lord. Even when I don't feel like it, even when things aren't going my way, I'm just going to bless the Lord. Bless the, hey soul, I'm going to bless the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Jack Hayford said this. He said, worship changes the worshiper. Woo! I could just stop right there. How many of you know we need to be changed? Praise God, my hand is up. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to be changed. Everything about this Christian life is about us continuing to change, become more and more, less of us, more of Him, more and more like Him. He said that worship changes the worshiper into the image of the one worshiped. Now listen, this is a spiritual truth, and this is really important. If you will worship God, not the music group, not the church, not the preacher. If you will worship Him, you will become more like Him. You will see things as He sees things. You will know things as He knows things. You will have the right perspective. As we worship Him, 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold Him, by the Spirit, we're taken from glory to glory to be more like Him. As the Bible says, that what you behold, you become like. If you are beholding your problems, if you are beholding murmuring and complaining and grumbling and low living, it's what you become. It's what you live in. I always say that your life moves in the most dominant image in your heart. What your heart is seeing is what your life moves toward. In worship, we see God. Now listen, I'm not discounting the Word of God here today at all. I'm not discounting any of that. I'm just trying to show us that there are many different aspects. And so today I want to focus on the worship. Because I'm telling you, this week I woke up, I was not going to preach this week, but I woke up this week just feeling like, as the church, we need a checkup on worship. Okay? Worship is important. If we will behold Him, we will become more like Him. Amen. Hallelujah. A.W. Tozer said this. I love this one. He said, without worship, we go about miserable. How many of you have noticed that sometimes if you stay out of the Word for a long time, you get a little rough around the edges? Your old man starts talking, you start listening. If you find yourself a little sad, a little weak, a little down and out, you're not worshiping enough. Got to stay in the Word, but you got to worship. There's something about worship that connects us with God. We got to worship. I don't want any miserable Christians. This is the church of no misery. Got a big NM and no misery. No miserable people. NMP, no miserable people here. Because we're worshipers. Amen. If you will worship, you will not be allowed to stay miserable. And it won't be because I'm telling you. And it won't be because your neighbor's saying, hey, don't be miserable. No, it's because you won't feel miserable anymore. Amen. Because God is with you. What about this one? A.W. Tozer said this. I love this. He said, God wants worshipers before workers. God wants workers before servers. Indeed, the only acceptable workers are those who have learned the lost art of worship. I could say this, that the only acceptable and most effective workers are those who have learned the art of worship. Why does he call it worship an art? Because of what I just talked about. You know, we need to get skillful in worship. We can't have just shallow worship. We can't have just remote, repetitive worship. We can't have just minimal worship. We've got to develop in worshiping God. Because there's a well. If you're saved, then that means that God lives in you. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means the full measure of the Spirit not only is within you, but has come upon you. And what I want you to know, that inside you is a well of worship. Amen. There's a well of salvation. There's a well of the salvation of God, which includes our whole life to God is our worship. There is a well inside us that we need to learn to tap into and draw. You know, a well, it's deep down. You know, a natural well, it's like from the surface, you can't see it. First of all, you got to know it's there. I want you to know there's a well of worship in you. There's a, God has put a well, the Holy Spirit has put a well of worship in you. And just like in the natural, you gotta know that that well is there and you got to tap down into it. And then you got to go deep enough to draw it out. And this is where I find many Christians tap, 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 tapping on the surface of worship. Ain't good. It's not going to cut it. It's not going to be sufficient for your life just to barely tap. And just, okay, oh, praise God. Well, praise God. That's all I can say. Praise God. That's a start. And it's a start. We all start somewhere. But you're going to have to learn to tap into the well of praise and let the praise of God, let the worship of God come out of you. Amen. Amen. I mean, I'm talking about worship to God that is deep. I'm talking about worship to God that is spiritual. I'm talking about worship to God that is of the Spirit and is of truth. That's what we're looking for. Tapping into that well. Amen? Praise the Lord. Here's another one. Oswald Chambers said this, worship and prayer must go together. Amen. He said one is impossible without the other. I tell you a good story. Brother Hagin told this story. There was one time a lady came up to him for prayer. And she had a need. And I don't really remember right now what the need was, but she had a need. And he began to pray for her. And as he began to pray, the Lord, he had a vision and the Lord showed him something. And in the vision, he saw two, they were kind of like, you know, the scale thing. Okay. When you put something in a scale and it weighs down and you put something in a scale. And so he saw the scale and she had two buckets. And one bucket was a prayer bucket. And one bucket was a worship bucket or a Thanksgiving bucket. Praise the Lord. And so as he was watching, he saw that her bucket of prayer was like way heavy. I mean, she was a prayer. She had been praying. She had been asking. She had been confessing. She had been believing. She had been praying, 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 praying. But the Lord told Brother Hagin to tell her, he said, tell her that when her worship equals her prayer, she'll have her answer. Yeah, things happen when we worship. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, in the process of being worshiped, God communicates his presence to men. I love that, that we get to connect with God. Here's a good one. Judson Cornwall. He said, whenever the method of worship becomes more important than the person of worship, we have already corrupted our worship. When you can't wait to break out your Christian music because you love that song, I love that song, I love that song, your worship is corrupted. It's not about loving that song. It's about loving God. It's about worshiping God. It's about adoring Him. It's about honoring Him. It's about lifting Him up. And that's why we can't get tied even to certain methods. We can't get tied to certain methods. Did you know that I'm finding out today? Listen, that some people can't really worship God unless music is going, unless there's a song, unless they know the song, or unless the song has words. You cut off the words and they're like. And that's why, you know, you hear me trying to create times where we're not just singing word, because I want you to worship. I want you to get something up out of your heart. I don't want you to be tied to a certain method. Right. Amen. Amen. We're going to have to be worshipers. And I would say, let me add something to this quote. Whenever the desired results of worship become more important than the person of worship, your worship is corrupted. If you're worshiping Jesus so that He can heal you, your worship is corrupted. He is the healer. He will heal us, absolutely. But we don't worship Him to get Him to heal us. We don't worship Him to get something. We don't worship to receive something. We don't worship to move God. We worship because He is God. He deserves to be worshiped for nothing else but who He is. Hallelujah. I believe that if we were to have a glimpse up into heaven, or go into heaven, or we can actually just see from the scriptures that the lifestyle of heaven is worship. In heaven, there's worship always. I'm not saying that's all that we do. I think that's wrong. I think that's not scriptural. I know that we don't just sit around in heaven doing nothing but worship, but worship is the lifestyle. And if they're living a lifestyle of worship in heaven, you can see, if you read in Revelations, you can see through the end times, things that are happening in the end times, things that are happening in heaven. If you can see that that's a lifestyle then, I believe that it ought to be our lifestyle now. I believe when we're living in the perfection and the true reality of what life with God is, which includes worship, that we ought to be emanating right now who we are and what we're going to do in eternity. We ought to be emanating that right now. Don't wait till you get to heaven and have to go to worship 101 class. I mean, I'm expecting to go in and be right there around the throne. I mean, I know it's the living creatures and the 24 elders, but I'm right there. I'm right there. I'm right there in the next row. Woo! Because I know how to worship. That's my heart. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what I'm working toward, being skilled with God to do that. And so should you. A worshiper is someone who desires to be with God more than anything else. That's what real worship is. It means when the first thought of your heart is just something with God. Wow, something with God. I mean, somebody can say something off the wall and it's just like you turn around, something with God. Something with God just hits you right there. Just to worship God. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes just to see something that's wrong or whatever, instead of getting so moved about how wrong it is, oh, just worship God, that He is the God of truth, that He is so pure, He is so right, He is so lovely, He is so just. Turn with me over to John chapter 4. Worship connects us to the presence of God. Worship causes us to grow in our intimacy with the Lord. Absolutely, worship causes you. And let me just say about your worship, you know, you're not going to be able to get stuck to one kind of worship. You can't just love just the praise music. I love praise music, dancing around, throw it around, run around. But you got to love the small, quiet, the deep things. You got to love it all. But you also can't be the one who always just wants to sit in that place. If you haven't learned to run and shout and dance around, your worship isn't perfected. And you might be in worship 101 in heaven, because I tell you what, there's going to be a lot of shouting, running, dancing going on in heaven. And I expect to see all of the Houston Faith Church. I said, this is the Houston Faith Church section. We got worship. How about you? No, I'm kidding. Okay. So, won't be any competition in heaven. I'm sorry about that. I blipped over for a moment. Are we in John chapter 4? Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is this helping you? Yes. Because my determination today is when we go out the door now, we've all purposed to be worshipers. Something inside me today clicked. Man, it turned on. Whether I'm already there, I'm revving it up. Whether I need to jump in. I mean, I'm in shallow water. I'm going to launch out into the deep. We're all going to be worshipers. Here's why. Because in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, this is Jesus speaking. Who's talking? He says, but the hour is coming and now is. Everybody say now.
Now.
Now is.
Now is.
Okay. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Let me talk about that for a moment. True worshipers worship in spirit and truth. Worship is based in the realities of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The Word of God, the reality of God's Word. God's Word is His truth. God's Word tells you who He is. God's Word reveals to you His nature, His character. It's the Word of God that is the truth. So if you have no Word, you can't worship in truth. So if you have no Word, no true worship. And I'm just going to go on the record. I'm just going to say it right here. Because we're family. Okay? And I'm accountable. Okay? Everything that you hear on the radio, everything that you hear by very popular Christian bands is not spiritual.
Amen.
It's not scriptural. It's not. And so you're going to have to really be a little more selective about what you're bending your ear to.
Right.
Or you can do that, but don't you call it worship.
Because
there's a lot of people that drive around their cars, a lot of secular people, a lot of people outside the kingdom that are doing a lot of stuff with music, a lot of stuff with song. It ain't worship. So don't call that stuff worship if it's not in truth.
Right.
There's a lot of, sometimes I hear that stuff, and I'm not kidding you. I wonder, do they even know God?
Right.
Do you know that I know personally stories of some of the major songs that Christian groups like to sing written by certain people, and they're not even in the family of God anymore? They're not even serving God anymore? Because we have elevated this something of contemporary music to satisfy our soul that's outside of God. Okay. Whew. Okay. So without the Word, there is no true worship, because you can't worship in truth. Without the Holy Spirit connecting to your spirit, you can't have true worship, because you can't worship in spirit. Do you know that the Holy Spirit can help you in worship? How many of you have ever experienced the Holy Spirit helping you as you've read the Word? It's showing. How many of you have ever experienced the Holy Spirit helping you as you've prayed? Something comes up in your heart. Pray for this. Something you weren't even. Same in worship. He helps us worship God. We need to learn that. We need to cultivate that. The yielding to the Spirit of God to worship. That's why we do have to cut the words off sometimes and the melodies that we know and the things and listen to the Spirit. What wants to come up as worship from the Spirit? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our worship, it should be alive. Our worship, it's a living, it's a vibrant part of your spiritual life. Mark chapter 12, verse 31 says, or verse 30, I think it is. We are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. We're to love God with everything. That means we're to worship Him with everything. There are times, I do believe, that you need to get your physical body involved in your worship. Because it helps you break out of something. If you're one that always just wants to sit like this and worship, I just dare you. I double dare you. I double dare you. Just to let the Lord cause you to get up, and you might have to take your first couple of steps in the flesh, but before you know it, the Spirit will get with you. We need to give ourselves fully to worship. To worship means to humble our whole self. Spirit, soul, and body. And I mean, that's why sometimes you need to lay on the floor. I mean, sometimes it's just like, I got to lay on the floor. I mean, I just got to lay down. Sometimes I got to kneel. We need to yield to that. You know, those are unctions of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just amazed sometimes that we talk about we're Spirit-filled people. We understand being led by the Spirit, but then we don't really always let the Spirit lead us in our worship. And if we sense to do this, we think, oh, you know, it's just... No, you don't know what's involved in that. You don't know what's involved in just your work. You don't know what door that's opening. You don't know what thing is happening at that moment. I tell you what is happening, good stuff. We are to worship the Lord. We are to honor Him, to adore Him, to wait upon Him, to know that really He is our source. And He is the ground from which everything of our life operates. And I love this scripture. I love this scripture because it says that God is seeking for somebody. You know, there's not many times in the Bible that the Bible says God is seeking for people. He does say this, that when He comes back, He's seeking, will faith be found? So in other words, He's looking for people of faith. I'm going to be one. Aren't you? Well, here it says He's seeking for those that will worship Him. God is seeking for worshipers. The Lord is seeking for worshipers. If I hear God saying He's seeking for a certain type of somebody, I want to be that somebody. Come on, don't you want to be that somebody? We got a purpose, Lord. The Lord is searching for worshipers. I'm going to be one. I mean, whether I'm naturally one or whether I'm going to be one. I'm going to be one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you a worshiper? Yes. This is our ministry to the Lord, to worship Him. The very first meeting that the church people had in Acts chapter 2, verses 40 through 47, we see that they were gathering together. And what was happening here was that the kingdom was being advanced by people whose essential focus was this, that they would gather together daily in the temple to worship God. They would worship Him with the Word. They would worship Him with communion. They would worship Him with prayers. They would worship Him with fasting. They would worship Him with thanksgiving, with praising, with rejoicing, with songs. That's the pattern for the church. We're going to have to be worshipers. And listen to this. As they did that, by the way, the Lord added to the church daily. Listen, you might not like it, but we can't forget this, that God's intent is to grow the church. God's intent is to advance the kingdom. He just wants one more sinner out of the sinful life into the family of God, plugged into a church so that they can be discipled and grow, and then we all stay sharp and fiery and we're advancing the kingdom so another one can come in. You better lose your attitude about, the church growing. No, the church needs to grow. That's what God said. But He's going to do it. He does it from a place of worship. Turn with me in Exodus chapter 17. I'm going to show you a picture in the Old Testament that I believe holds true for the New Testament today. You know, Jesus said this. He said that He was going to build the church, talking about us. He was going to build the church on the revelation of who He is and who we are in Him. Don't forget that. It's not just about who He is, but it's who we are in Him. It's us as Him as the head and us as the body that He builds the church on. That means that God can't build the church without you. without you knowing who you are, without you doing your part. But he said that he was going to build the church on that revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail. The gates of hell, the evil, the darkness will not prevail. That's the Lord's will. Have y'all learned that sometimes just because the Lord's will and he says something isn't always what he gets? So we got to understand that we have tools in the earth. We have things that God has given us to help us stand up against the evil one. And I want to just say it out loud that worship is a weapon. So are you in Exodus 17? If we're going to see the church advance, if we're going to see the kingdom advance and the church not be overrun by darkness, we're going to have to be worshipers.
Amen.
Okay? Exodus 17. I'm going to read 7 through 13 is the story. I'll tell you what happened. They had tempted the Lord asking, you know, is the Lord among us or not? And so the Lord, you know, at that point, this is Old Testament stuff. God had to remove his hand from them. And so they had an enemy that was coming against them to fight them. So in verse 9, Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out and fight with Amalek. And tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill. Now I want you to see that. Where is he going to stand? On the top of the hill. In other words, he's going into battle and he understands he must stand in the high place. He can't be down in the valley, be grumbling, way down and under. No, he's not even going to be on equal footing with the enemy. He must be in the high place. What gets you to the high place? What causes you to ascend? If you're going to go to battle, listen, we all got battles. We do have an enemy. He is defeated and under our feet, but we must enforce the truth of God. If you're going to enforce the truth like Moses that now says, I'm going to take the rod and lift it up. If you're going to walk in your authority, you're going to have to be a worshiper. So he said, I'm going to stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses, what? Held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, the Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy. And so they took a stone and put it under him and he sat on it. And then Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side and one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Moses had his hands raised. When his hands were raised, when his hands were in a form of worship, when his hands were lifted and acknowledging there is God, there is the one that is above me. His lifting of his hands was a demonstration of his worship. It was when his hands were worship. It was when he was worshiping the Lord that the enemy was defeated. But as soon as his hands came down, trouble would happen. Hallelujah. Listen, worship is powerful. Worship is a direct connection with God. And because it's a direct connection with God, it's a direct connection with the heavenly host, with the heavenly assistance. When we worship, come on, assistance comes. When we worship, heavenly help comes. We must be worshipers. Hallelujah. Sacrificial worship is what gives God the right to get involved. Let me mention this. Moses was assisted by Aaron and Hur. When he got tired, he had people that held him, helped him hold up his arms. They worked together. So must we. Hey, family. So must we. We're going to have to work together. When a believer grows weary and well-doing, we're to come alongside them and help them and undergird them and lift them up. Come on, we're stronger together. We're better together. When's the last time you just got before God and said, you know what, God, I'm just going to worship you on behalf of so-and-so. I know that so-and-so's in a difficult situation. I'm not going to pray and ask and this and that. I'm just going to worship you. I'm just going to worship the God of might. I'm just going to worship the Father of light. I'm just going to worship you, Father, in their behalf. When's the last time you knew somebody was going through something and you called them and said, hey, let's just get together and worship? Hey, can you come to my house or can I come to your house? Let's just worship. I'm glad you're not answering me because I don't know how many people would be saying. But the truth is that worship is it's super dynamic in your spiritual life. We must know worship. We must understand worship, the focus of worship. And we're going to have times where we just have focused worship. I mean, even in the corporate setting, there's times when we just need focused worship.
Amen.
You know, like some Wednesday nights, we just have worship night, nothing but worship. I mean, Mike has done some Friday night, get your praise on, just come. We're not going to do anything but praise God for 3 hours. I tell you what, in 3 hours, you will find up. You will find out if your well has really got a lot of water or not. Brother Hagin used to talk about that all the time, how Christians get together and we try to do everything. We try to pray some. We try to preach the word some. We try to, you know, worship some. And I mean, I understand on Sunday morning we have to do that kind of to an extent. But listen, there are times when you just got to get some focused prayer in a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, you don't come in and start worshiping and don't come in and preach a message. It's a prayer meeting. We're going to pray. Worship time, we're going to worship. And we ought to have some word days. What would happen if you walked in here on a Sunday morning and we said we're not doing any music? Would you be okay with that? Because I'm telling you, we're going to have some focused time of worship. And just like we need it corporately, we need it individually. You're going to have some focused worship time individually. Right, David? Right, David? Right. We're going to have some focused worship. Not just when you're driving in your car. That counts for something. But I'm talking about focused worship where you can get real worship, true worship, deep worship, spiritual worship. Where you're not just pulling something up on a shallow place. You know, in the prayer, it talks about getting in your prayer closet. Now, we know the Bible says we're supposed to pray at all times. And obviously, I don't live in a prayer closet. Do you? So I can pray all the time, anywhere. But there are times to get in my closet. Listen, and when I get in my closet, when I'm going to get in my closet, I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to shut the door. I'm going to shut it. Because if I leave it open, it's like, whoo, I see the lights and I hear the whoo, all kind of stuff trying to. No. Get in your prayer closet, shut the door. You need to get in your worship closet sometimes and shut the door. And just worship God. I mean, just worship God. I mean, just give it everything you got. I mean, just get wild with your worship. Just get crazy. Woo! You're in your closet. Ain't nobody going to hear you. Or see you. I have to admit, this was one thing for me getting married was because, you know, when I used to live by myself, but now, you know, it's like, is he sleeping? What's, you know, I mean, okay. But we work it out. There can be no excuses. Isn't that true? So when's the last time you had like an all-out intense worship session on your own? You know, I told you I find people that can't really worship without music or without words. I find people that can't worship very long. I mean, about 5 minutes, that's it, I'm done. I've said everything I can possibly think of to say I'm done. There's a connection between the life of God that we experience and worship. So I'm going to tell you a story. Is that okay? I tell you a story? So Reverend Norval Hayes told this story. All right, I'm going to read this. This is coming from one of his really, really old books. It's just called Worship. Nothing fancy, just worship. He said, several years ago, I was riding down the road just minding my own business when the Spirit of God came upon me. Then he said to me, son, the church is sadly lacking. And I said, what do you mean sadly lacking? Well, he said, my children basically love me, but they live in poverty and sickness and defeat. And they don't live in heaven's blessings because they don't worship me enough. Now notice here that the Lord did not say, my children do not worship me. Because I bet everybody here worships somehow, sometime. He said, they don't worship me enough. Very interesting. Could it be that more often is needed? Could it be that longer periods of worship is needed? Are you worshiping the Lord enough? You might say, well, how do I know if I'm worshiping the Lord enough? Because you'll be peaceful. Because you'll be joyful. Because you'll find that your eyes will be set upon Him and things above. You'll find that you're seeing possibilities. If you're not checking off all those things, it's a very good possibility you're not worshiping enough. If you're worshiping, you'll see God at work in your life. Because heaven gets involved. So when Norval heard this, you know, now Norval was he's a word guy. He's a faith guy. He had one of the most phenomenal discerning of spirits gifts. I mean, and just really powerful stuff with devils and demonic stuff and people getting delivered. But he was a work, you know, Norval's meetings were not the type of meeting you walked in and expected that you were going to worship much. Okay? So, you know, he made some comments to the Lord like, yeah, you know, putting it off on these other people. And then the Lord pointed it back at him. And the Lord went on to tell him, he said, you need to teach my people to worship me more. I'm their God and they're my children. And if you'll teach my children to worship me more, I'll do great and mighty things for them. That's what God said. This is not what I'm saying. This is what God said. And so Norval did, and he's got all kinds of stories, I mean, of things happening for people just because they worshiped. It's a really neat story. One lady came up for prayer one time, and I don't even know what her prayer request was, but she came up, and Norval just said to her, he said, let's just begin to worship the Lord. And she just began to worship. They began to worship, and all of a sudden, Norval opened his eyes, and she was going like this. And he said she did this for about 20 minutes. And when she got finished, he said, what were you doing? She said, the Holy Spirit was teaching me to play the piano. She had never, ever played the piano. The Holy Spirit taught her to play the piano. She went down and sat down at the piano. And she ended up going playing the piano for one of the leading largest churches. The Holy Spirit taught her to play the piano just in worship. Anybody need a grace or an ability or something to come on you? Just worship. The reality is what worship does is it gets your eyes off you. It's a matter of focus. It takes your eyes off your problems, your situations, your troubles, your blah, 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 blah. It puts your eyes on Him who is the source of all life and the source of all power. And so the more our eyes are upon Him, the more of Him we experience. So let me tell you a couple of good stories. This story is about a pastor and his assistants. They would go up to the church on Saturday nights to pray. And so one night, listen to this, they felt led of the Spirit to worship. Now their intent was to go and pray, but they felt led that night to worship. And so they went and stood in the four corners of the church. And as they were worshiping, they closed their eyes. All of a sudden, they begin to see angels all in the church, and they were spreading their wings over all of the chairs of the church. And they said the minute that they would stop worshiping, the angels would disappear. And so they would close their eyes, and they would start worshiping again, and the angels would come right back. That very next Sunday, their church just took off on a growth spurt. God just got involved in their worship. Amy Simple McPherson told this story. This is a good story. You know, when she first started her ministry, she was in the tent ministry. And so she went into one city and she would hold those big tent, you know, crusades, and thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people would come, you know. And so she put her tent up, and once she got it all down, she realized she put it in the wrong place. And so there were people in the city that were mad because she'd put the tent in the wrong place. But she didn't have time at this point to uproot the tent. And so she said one night she walked somewhere, and as she did, she saw all these men, several of these men, and they had come, and they were mad. She knew that they were mad about her tent being in the wrong place, and they were all carrying gas cans. And she said when she saw them, she knew that they were coming to burn down the tent because they were mad that she had put the tent there. And so you know what she did? She instantly thought to herself, oh, I know what to do. Let me just rebuke the devil. Let me just pray. No, she stopped and asked God what to do. That's a good note. Because see, as a prayer, our first instinct is to pray. As a word person, our first instinct is to confess the word. She just asked the Lord. And the Lord told her this. And mind you, there are men, many men, big men, mad men with gas cans. He told her to close her eyes and worship. And so she did. She just closed her eyes, lifted up her hands, started worshiping. As she did, I don't know how long, it doesn't say. It could have been 5 minutes, could have been 10 minutes, could have been 30 minutes, I don't know. But all of a sudden, she saw angels, and they were standing wing to wing all around the tent. And she opened her eyes, and when she opened her eyes, she said the men were like this. She said they had this bewildered look on their face. They had dropped all of their gas cans, and then they ran. Because she worshiped. I think sometimes we have no idea what happens in the midst of our worship. It's time to worship more. It's time to worship enough. We don't worship to get God to do something. We're not worshiping to make God do something. It's not just like fasting doesn't move the hand of God. Okay? Worship is about acknowledging Him. It's about getting our eyes upon Him. It's about setting Him in the rightful place in our own heart, in our own reality, that He is God, that He is able, that He is bigger, that He is greater, that He is mightier, that none of this other stuff holds a candle. None of it matters. None of it can stand. None of it, it's all nothing compared to God. And that's what then causes. Then we see the results of things that happen in our life. But it's not because God says, okay, I'm sitting up in heaven. Now, Aaron, when you worship, I'm good. That's not it. Worship is a demonstration of our faith. Worth is an expression of our heart. And He is the one above. And He is above all. He is greater than all. He is mightier than all. We worship Him because we love Him. We worship Him because He's worthy to be glorified and to be magnified, and He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy of it. He is worthy of it. This is our service to Him. And let me just remind you, since I've, you know, on worship, a little, I don't know if all of you are familiar with the term. But if you're a worshiper, you know the term vertical worship versus horizontal worship. So, you know, horizontal worship is singing Christian songs about Christian stuff. It could be about the good life. It could be about even about who you are in Christ. And, you know, there's a place for some of that occasionally. But most of your worship needs to be vertical. It's vertical worship. It's up to Him. Who is He? Let's exalt Him. You know, sometimes I listen to songs today and I'm like, where is the vertical worship? I know sometimes you need to be reminded who you are and you need to sing about it. I love that. But that can't be 90% of your worship. It's got to be up toward God. Who is God? Let's exalt Him. Let's glorify Him. Let's magnify Him above all. That's worshiping in spirit and in truth. When's the last time you took a truth and just worshiped God in that capacity? Hallelujah. As we worship Him, our troubles grow dim and victory comes into our sight. As we worship Him, our sorrows depart and joy arrives on the scene. As we worship Him, our fears dissipate and our faith comes alive. As we worship Him, heaviness, weariness leaves us and strength comes, and we find ourselves rising up, mounting up on the wings of the eagle so that we can soar and run our race and not be weary and not faint. It's as we worship, even waiting upon Him. Waiting upon Him is a form of worship. Hallelujah. The Lord says that He is looking. He is searching. He is seeking. The intensity of that word, He's seeking for worshipers. Lord, Lord. Lord, let You find us as worshipers. Lord, may You find us as worshipers. Holy Spirit, teach us to worship. Holy Spirit, help us to worship in spirit and in truth. Could I have the band up? Hallelujah. We're going to worship the Lord today. We're going to worship the Lord. We're not going to worship the Lord to get anything. We're not going to worship the Lord because now, oh, it's time to play another song. No, 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 no. Please, 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 please. From your heart today, I want you to worship the Lord. I want you to worship the Lord like you've never worshiped Him before. I want you to worship and give to Him the honor that He is due. I want you to worship Him and give to Him the awe and the respect of who He is. I want you to worship today. We're going to sing a song. We're all going to sing a song. We're going to center our hearts on the song and who He is. And then we're going to worship. We're going to worship without words. Hallelujah. Because He's worthy. And because we are worshipers. This is what we do. This is who we are. Everybody stand to your feet, please. I want you to worship this morning. I want you to lose all your inhibition. I don't care about your neighbor. Whatever you feel to do, you may feel to stand right there. You may feel to lay. You may feel to kneel. You may, whatever it is. But I want us to worship, Lord. Help us in our worship, Lord, that we would worship You in spirit and in truth, Lord. In spirit and in truth, Lord, we lift our hearts to You. Father, I pray that in this moment that the well of worship within every believer right now is tapped open and that there's a draw. We call the draw of worship to come forth from Your family, from Your people, Lord. We thank You, Lord.
begin to thank Him. Just begin to thank Him for who He is, for what He's done. Thank you. Yeah.